the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yes! Little roller up along first. Behind the back.
Knicks Pick Sports Show. We do it every morning this time. We bring in Steve Mickelson live from Las Vegas, Nevada. That's 2Ks and Mix, 2Ks and Picks, mixpicks.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We are joined once again by our occasional contributor. Gary is in studio with us as well. Hey, Gary.
Good morning, Rob.
All right,
Steve.
I got to do a quick update. I think it was a week and a half ago or so, I authoritatively said that the NFL schedule would be released. What's today? Tuesday? Would be released this week on Thursday. So not tomorrow, but on Thursday. And then the next morning I had to say, well, that's what's being rumored, because if the NFL follows historical of the last few years, it would be released this Thursday. But if nothing's official, and I did that because I got an email from the NFL that didn't have a draft date, or God damn it, didn't have a release date for the schedule. And sure enough, they've confirmed nothing. I have an update for you, which is there is no update. As of today, Fox Sports is saying the NFL will announce its schedule for the 2024 season this Thursday, but Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, who's pretty wired in, says no, it's going to be next week. He goes into a bunch of industry jargon, blah, blah, blah. The next week is a network thing. You bring attention, because of course they're going to do this on TV. God forbid they just release the schedule to us. Steve, I don't know how much you and I talked about this, but how do you, personally or professionally, how into this are you? Because I, for some reason, I'm always excited about the release of the NFL schedule in terms of the official dates, who's playing on Thanksgiving, et cetera.
It's one of the things I'm really not interested in. I've always loved the draft back to when I was a kid, and you know, I remember skipping school to watch the draft on TV.
Steve,
the schedule release, I know who they're playing. It's really not that big of a deal. I do always look up who the Lions play on Thanksgiving Day, but other than that, not a whole lot of interest.
See, that's it. You're a spoiled Lions fan. You already know your team plays on Thanksgiving. The rest of us want to know, do we get Thanksgiving? Do we get Christmas? Do we get Monday night games? Things like, I don't know. Do you care at all, Gary?
I don't, but since you got draft and schedule release confused so often, I just started thinking, would it be cool if they actually let the teams draft their own schedule?
Ooh. Is it based on the same thing? Worst record gets the draft first?
Yep.
Now, are they drafting the opponents they play as well, or just the dates?
No, dates and opponents.
Oh, God. Can you imagine the fuster cluck of the NFL then having to piece together how you would make that work logistically?
Just outside of the conference games. You still have to play your conference games, but your other games outside of the conference, you get to draft your own schedule.
I do love it. It seems like more and more almost daily we're reimagining the NFL in its entirety on this show.
Yeah, but then we would see the Panthers be the first 8 draft picks in the thing. They'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, because everyone's going to draft them immediately.
And they're going to play the Bears every single week.
Exactly. All right, back to actual sports that are happening. All right, we got this email, rad@radradio.com. We're shifting over to hockey. We got this email from Jeff, who wrote in last night. He says, listening to Monday's show, and Steve was saying that Florida is at the top of his favorites to win the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm writing this after Boston beat Florida in Game 1. Florida had a week off. Boston had just one day off after their 7-game series versus Toronto. Will this change Steve's thoughts of Florida winning the series? Before you answer that, Steve, let me jump over to Gary, big hockey guy. I love watching hockey. I don't know blank about it, so I always cede to the fans, the experts, the viewers. First of all, do you like Steve's pick of Florida going all the way, Gary?
I like Steve's pick of Florida going to the conference finals, but I don't think they're going to be in the finals.
Oh, you don't even have them in the finals?
No.
Okay, because Steve, you, first of all, you do have them winning the Stanley Cup, as I've heard it, and secondly, then you can answer Jeff's question, has anything changed after one game?
No, not really. You know, you see these teams, they get that rest, they come out a little sluggish, and those teams that go to 7 games in a lot of these series is, you know, are already amped up. They already played that elimination game. They're still riding that high. Now, if Florida goes and loses this next game at home to Boston, yes, I will start being a little bit worried. But, you know, splitting 1-1, I'm sure Florida can go into Boston and win either game, you know, 3 or 4. So I'm still okay.
And you pointed out to me when I was mentioning, I think it was hockey we were talking about, it could have been basketball, but either way, I was mentioning that one team was going to go 7 games, whereas the other team was going to be able to rest. They're going to be gassed. And as you said, Steve, that's playoffs. Whether it's hockey, basketball, or whatever, you overcome being gassed.
You have to if you want to advance. It's just part of the game.
So, Gary, who do you have going to the finals?
I still like Carolina, and I think one of the games we're going to talk about later today, I think, is probably the best matchup in the playoffs so far. One of those two teams should be in the finals.
We will absolutely talk about tonight's matchups in mere moments. First, though, to the game, he's referencing Brandon Bruins defenseman Brandon Carlo became a dad to his son around 3 in the morning, flew to Florida, scored a goal. By the way, it's not like it was a close game. Bruins won 5-1. So, Steve, do you just attribute that to what you said? It takes a game for the Stars to get their footing. The Panthers to get their footing, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and Florida went up 1-0, and Boston did a great job. I mean, they scored it, tied it within, a minute and a half, less than that. And they just had a great second period. They took command of it, took advantage of their opportunities. You know, Florida outshot them, but the Bruins just played a great game.
All right, so I've been waiting for an opportunity to bring this up with you, Steve, and it just so happens that Gary's here, so it works out well. Because there was a story a few weeks ago about Bryce Harper, who he missed 3 games for parental leave for the birth of one of his 3 kids, I think, which may or may not change anybody's opinion. His wife Kaylee gave birth to third child. And then you have the Rudy Gobert story. He wasn't with Minnesota. They're up, we'll obviously talk about the NBA in a little bit. They're up 2-0 against the Nuggets. I wonder, would Gobert have made it last night if the Timberwolves were down? I don't know. Would Scottie Scheffler have walked off Augusta on Sunday if his wife had gone into labor, which he said he would have? We'll never know the answer to this. I'm not going to say that I really care about this at this point in my life, but I've made the argument for years. Now, Steve, you're the only dad here. I want to ask you, because you're in our age bracket, you're in our generation, but you're a little older than Gary and me. How old were you when what year was it, I guess, when your kids were born? Years is.
1992, 1994, and 1998.
So I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, were you in the delivery room for those?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so now growing up, even that, so growing up as a 70s kid, that was ridiculous. That never happened. No, that's just not where men belong. And then we've really matured, we've evolved, whatever you want to call it, gotten soft, some would argue. And so we get to this paternity leave thing specific to sports. And there are plenty of sports fans who continue to this day in 2024 to argue there is no reason that Bryce Harper needs to miss 3 games. There's certainly no reason that Rudy Gobert needs to miss playoff games to be in the room to watch your kid be born and then leave and come back and play. And it gets even more amplified when you're talking about the NBA playoffs, which is why I brought up the Minnesota Gobert thing. What if they were down 0-1 and Gobert doesn't show up? And let's just pretend different alternate universe, parallel universe. Now the Wolves are down 0-2. How many Minnesota fans are screaming, "What the hell?" Because there was this question about, can he get to Denver in time? What? It's 2024. There's plenty of ways to get him there. My take on it is he realized they didn't need him, or the team said, eh. Steve, is there any, as a dad, in growing up, because, look, you grew up in even earlier times by a few years than Gary and I did. You know the whole, there's no dads in the room. If you're lucky if they're even at the hospital when kids are being born in the 60s, early 70s, et cetera. But now, as a dad, are people being too harsh when they say, come on, Harper, get on the field? You don't need to be that, especially you, Bryce. It's your 3rd kid.
I think it's a decision made between the mother and the father. For your first child, I would tell you, you have to be there. It's so hard to describe, but I'll tell you, it is life-altering. It really is. It changes your view on life and everything about it. I remember when my oldest daughter, was born, and it just became, wow, this is now the most important thing, for the most part in my life, ahead of everything, is I'm a father. I need to take care of her. I need to, nurture her, teach her, help her grow, and make her the person, help with your, as much as you can, make her into the best person she can. She is a wonderful person. I love all of my children dearly, and I wouldn't have missed any of them. Now, I'm not saying I would have missed 3 days, because one of my daughters was born during March, and you know that is March Madness. Luckily, she came at the end of March as opposed to the middle of March. It's probably one of those I would have missed that one day, but I would have been at work, you know, up until my wife went into labor, and then once you know we had the baby, I probably would have been back to work the next day.
So, the when you were specifically pointing out the first child you had, the first daughter, you felt like the gravity of the situation really hit you by being present at the birth of her?
Yes. My wife had a C-section, and I will tell you, I'm not the father that cut the cord. I didn't cut the cord on any of my three kids. I'm a little squeamish when it comes to blood. But the second the baby comes out and you hear the cry, I mean, your whole world changes. It's an incredible thing that, you know, I can say and try to describe it, but you have to be a part of it to fully understand it.
Fair, and I do like your position that it should be ultimately up to the couples. Hypothetically, my wife and I have talked about this, and it's totally hypothetical because she's never wanted kids. I have a vasectomy, so if she has a kid, we're having other problems. But hypothetically, she's like, I don't want you anywhere near me when I'm doing that. That's gross. And I'm like, well, good. I wouldn't want to be anyways. But that's all. Isn't that easy to say when it's not happening? But let me go back, Steve, before I bring Gary in here on this. So you gave us the dad's answer, which I asked for. Now, do you give any credence to sports fans who say, come on, man, and they'll make all sorts of arguments. You're a multimillionaire. If it's Bryce Harper, you've already had kids. If you're a Timberwolves fan, it's the playoffs. Do you listen to that at all, or are you like, settle down, pal?
No, I go solely to, you have to understand, sports is an entertainment business. It's not your life. It's not your family. Your family should come number one to pretty much anything, you know, some faith, family, you know, then your job or however you believe, but your family has to be at the top. You know, friends come and go, and you know, you love to have longtime friends, but at the end of the day, you know, it's your family that who you're with from start to end.
Well, let me turn to my friend of 35 years.
Yeah, I'm just going to get up and leave right now.
Yeah, I guess it's about to go. So let me see if I can get Gary. Can you bring some toxic masculinity to this? Or I mean, because Steve makes a good, compelling argument, but I saw you shaking your head in the negative when I brought up Bryce Harper. You're like, this. It seems to me like you're saying, no, not okay.
No, okay. Steve said it's entertainment, right? It is a business. And guess what? You're expected to perform your job to entertain people. So you either A, plan your birth around your basketball schedule, or be prepared that, like, Scheffler, not Scheffler, he was going to leave, but...
I don't believe him.
I know. And so, you know what's funny is as Steve was talking about it, I really wanted to say, hey, Steve, how much money did the sports books lose on those days that you were at the hospital with your wife? So, you know, because it's a business still, but I'm sure your boss never asked you that question, and I'm sure you guys didn't lose any money on those days. But for me, like yesterday with the Denver and Minnesota game with Gobert not being there, I was really hoping for the complete opposite outcome just because of the fact the heat that Gobert would have caught from the fans in the playoffs, right? And I mean, obviously Minnesota easily handled that problem without any issues. So there's a real hard argument there to make. You can't even make it in that situation. But for me, it's a business. You've got to be there to perform.
I love your opening on this because it harkens back to when this really became a national discussion, because it wasn't revealed that the collective bargaining agreement with Major League Baseball it was 2014, had put their paternity leave, they used to call it that, now it's something else, into their agreement until the Yankee second baseman, Daniel Murphy, exercised his right and was like, you're missing games to watch the birth of your kid. And the appropriately named Boomer Esiason went on his national radio show and said, and I quote, his wife should have scheduled a C-section before the season, which he got destroyed for, because you're sitting here saying, you gotta schedule these things better. Steve, does that soften you at all on your position?
No, I was going to come to Gary's defense slightly with in today's day and age. I mean, for the most part with, you know, even my daughters now, you know, I have both of my daughters have one child. My middle daughter is expecting her second child. But anymore in today's labor, they schedule these things out. We're going to induce labor on this day. You know, we're going to schedule if you know you're high risk and they're going to go with a C-section, we're going to schedule it on this day. So I do think there are some workarounds there, especially if you are this high profile, you know, professional athlete, you're Rudy Gobert, you're Bryce Harper, that you can work with your doctors as well. But again, that comes down to your family's choice. I mean, I know that my wife, you know, with our first child did not want a C-section. She accepted it. You know, she wanted to go through natural birth. And fortunate for her, my next two children both were natural. And now's day and age, if you have a C-section once, you have to have a C-section every single time, from my understanding. So my wife wanted to go through the natural childbirth part. But again, you can induce the labor and, you know, have a little bit more control over. We have no idea when this is going to happen.
Phone number is 888-989-9811. You can email us, red at radradio.com, like David did. He says, I've changed my thinking on this over the years. Maybe I'm on an island, but the way I see it is, with the amount of money players make, millions, I think they have an obligation to play. It's the sacrifice you make, and it's an obligation to be there. You are generously paid and only have so many months to work for that money. Maybe harsh, but this is the life you chose and lead, especially the playoffs. That sounds closer to your side, Gary, especially when you get to the playoff argument.
And, you know, and this is one of the areas where sports and athletes are becoming more disassociated with the fans. The fans are paying top dollar to see you play. I'm going to specifically go to a Giants-Phillies game to see Bryce Harper. If Bryce Harper's not playing that day because he's having a baby, guess what? Now I'm out my $200 or $300, whatever I spent for my tickets on, to go see the best of the best against the best of the best. I'm not going there to watch minor league baseball. I don't want to see the third string players out on the field or on the court. I want to see the best of the best, and especially in the playoffs, with exactly like last night. I would have preferred to have seen Gobert versus Joker instead of Towns versus Joker. I mean, it was, once again, hard argument there, but I'm paying top dollar to see the best of the best. And they're forgetting that they're there to provide entertainment for people that are paying for it, to give them their salaries and their careers and the lives that they have.
I'm sure ultimately Adam Silver and the NBA would prefer that Gobert be there, but they have no standing. I mean, you can't say anything publicly or privately, really, at this point in the calendar. Anything to finish this up with, Steve, because we've got to go back to another email.
Yeah, I can flat out tell you that if you gave me that choice, I would walk away from my job. I would rather be present for the birth of my two children. It's not that important to me. If I'm Gobert or them, I already have the money, so the money isn't an issue. And if you're giving me a choice between actually playing a game or seeing the birth of my child, I will walk away from the game every single time to see the birth of my child.
Good for you, Steve. By the way, least surprising thing said today from you. All right, now back to Jeff's email that started off the same, but he's the one that's talking about, has Steve changed his thoughts on Florida, basing it all on the fact that Boston beat Florida in game one. Florida had a week off. Boston had just one day off. So then he segues to, do you think this scenario will help Dallas in game one versus Colorado? It's the same scenario, basically. Dallas goes right into the next series after a seven-game series versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Colorado's had a week off or so. That gets us to tonight, Steve. It's the later game, 6:30 ESPN. Colorado's at Dallas. Do you see Dallas lagging at home because they're tired?
No, I like Dallas. They're ready to go. They've just coming off the elimination game. A lot of emotion there. I'm really excited to see this series because I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this. I think they're really going to open up. But I like the Stars in this series. I'm not a big fan of Colorado's defense. They are a high-scoring team. Not a fan of their goalie in any way. So I like the Stars here, and I think they're going to ride that emotion tonight.
Gary, we're about to get to the Carolina game. You have them going to the Stanley Cup final. Do you have the Stars going all the way as well?
I don't, actually. I really like Colorado in this series. But overall, I do like Edmonton overall. Colorado is just on fire right now offensively. They're averaging 5.6 goals per game in the playoffs. Dallas is only averaging 2.29 goals per game. So, I mean, they're literally outscoring Dallas by three goals a game. And Dallas has played seven games, whereas Colorado's only played five so far. And so the time off is a little bit shorter than we see in the Boston Florida series. And, you know, but defensively, I do give it up to Dallas. Dallas definitely has the better goaltender in this situation. And I think it's going to be a good series, but I'm leaning more towards Colorado in this series right now.
Do you think they steal one at home tonight with Dallas, quote unquote, you know, gassed?
I think that Colorado, I don't think it's going to be the same as last night. I think Colorado is going to win tonight.
You like Gary's argument, Steve? Can I pitch you against each other? Can you really go hard on the Stars and tell Gary why he's so wrong?
I can't go hard on the Stars and tell him why they're so wrong. I mean, the Avalanche have a phenomenal, you know, scoring team. I'm just not a big fan of Georgiev and goal. Yeah. And I just don't think they play, you know, good defense. The farther you get into the playoffs, the more important that defense and goaltending in is with those penalty kills, etc. And I like the Stars to win tonight.
So we got Colorado at Dallas. That's the 6:30 game. The earlier game, now, I think if I heard you correctly, Gary, things move quickly. You said Edmonton all the way. Edmonton winning the cup?
No, I think Carolina's still going to win it all, but okay. Edmonton will be from the West in the finals.
All right, so Edmonton, Carolina, but Carolina's going to win the cup, says Gary. But meanwhile, on the other side, Steve's got Florida winning the cup, which he stood by in the earlier email from Jeff. So the early game today, Steve, 4 o'clock ESPN, is the aforementioned Carolina at New York.
You know, Carolina led the league in penalty kills, and they go and they give up, what, 2 goals on power plays to the Rangers. They got to tighten it up. I still like the Hurricanes here. I think they are the better team, but they can't be giving up those power play goals to the Rangers, getting the penalties, etc. They got to tighten that up, and they'll be okay.
By the way, Steve, how awful is Gary's prediction of Carolina-Edmonton?
I don't think it's that awful at all. Right now, with the two different teams playing, I mean, Carolina at the end of the season was playing the best hockey out there. I just don't think they're going to get past Florida. And Edmonton really impressed me in their series against the Kings. Keep in mind it was the Kings. Because in the past, the Oilers have always been very aggressive, and they make mistakes, and ultimately it ends up costing them. They can score with anybody in the league as well. But they played disciplined hockey. They sat back. They waited for the Kings to make the mistakes. And when the Kings did, they capitalized on it. I think they had 9 power play goals in that series. That's how you win in the playoffs. And the Oilers played a different brand this year. And if they can keep that up, they're going to be really tough to beat.
Obviously, Gary, you've got the Carolina winning all their series to get to the finals. Did you make a comment on how the quality of this series?
This is going to be a great series. I mean, we saw it already in the first game. It was 4-3. Even though the Rangers really had control most of the way, it was still ended up being a close game. You know, the Rangers are 5-0 so far in the playoffs, and they've only given up 10 goals so far through those 5 games. And offensively, though, they're really evenly matched. But New York's got Mika Zibanejad, who has got 10 points through those first 5 playoff games as well. And so if he can get going early, I think New York's got a chance to beat Carolina tonight. But Carolina's got to shut him down, and they should be able to win this game tonight easily.
Phone number is 888-989-9811. You can email us, RAD@radradio.com. Got a good story about going to a game and being disappointed because a player's not playing. I'll see if it's about paternity leave or just making stories up to credit some argument. We'll get to the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball after this.
Knicks Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
As always, Steve Mickelson and me. Gary's joining us again today, as he does often. We got this email, RAD@radradio.com, from Chris, who says, I'd like to take a second to say thank you to both Rob and Steve. Seriously, thank you. I have never really been a fan of basketball or hockey on TV, but since listening to you guys, my interest has grown, and on one of the streaming services I use, I can watch both sports on a split screen. So I get both at the same time. My wife isn't happy with you, but I'm really enjoying it. Now, Steve, you've cracked the code on that. You got to get your wife to figure out a way to enjoy it. You were just telling the story yesterday that this is it. Like, she loves hockey now, and the Vegas Golden Knights in particular.
Yes, the key is take them to the games in person, you know, and hopefully they're curious enough to kind of inquire into what the different rules are so they can fully understand what's going on. My wife still hasn't fully bought into basketball. She still goes with that. It doesn't matter to the last 2 minutes philosophy, which unfortunately it seems every time she watches a game with me, that's really what happens. 20-point leads end up going away, and it's a 1-point game with 2 minutes to go. But you know, take them to the games, let them see it live. Hopefully they like it and ask some questions. And once they gain some basic knowledge on how the game's played, usually they'll start liking the game.
I love that email. It's not the first we've had in the little time we've been doing this show of it's the non-sport fans who are listening to us and kind of going, oh, I really should, because I'm late to the game with hockey in particular. I love going live to hockey. I've never really been into the NHL unless it's the Stanley Cup Finals. Now I'm getting more into it. Basketball in the last 5 years I've really gotten into. So I always love those emails, but you reminded me, I wasn't going to mention, I'd forgotten, but just last night during the Pacers-Knicks game, which was just back and forth, I was clicking in and out of the game until, okay, we're down to the final 2 minutes. It's tied. I think we got back with 115-115. Maybe not. Maybe it was 112-112. Whatever. My wife's there, and she's watching it. She's not the biggest basketball fan in the world, but she's doing that thing that's really cool. She's trying to get involved. And that play, it was the play. We had so many challenges in that last 2 minutes, right? All right, the one where, and I don't, because she was yapping in my ear, which this is the good part. You want her to be interested.
Yeah.
But at the same time, right, you know, time is of the essence in the NBA. And it was the play where the Knicks passing the ball, or did he intentionally throw at the player's foot for the Pacers and it went out of bounds and they were reviewing it. Okay. Because there were so many, not the one with the hand later that they didn't challenge because they couldn't challenge. We'll get to that in a second. She's trying to get me to explain why it would or wouldn't be a penalty. And she's arguing because she's an attorney. She's arguing from the law. We're kind of getting into it. I'm like, babe, it's not about the rules of law don't apply. It's what the NBA says the rules are. If they can show that dude was trying to pass it and guy stuck his foot out, then it's out of, no, it can't be out of it. Like, to the point where stop it. I have to watch the game because I can't watch it. And I felt so bad because she wants to be involved. But I need to watch the game. And I was right, by the way. I just want to say, as it turned out, which I pointed out to her much later, more subtly kind of thing. But they you want them to be involved. You want them to ask the questions. Like, I don't mind during football.
Yeah.
As long as it's not in the fourth quarter and overtime kind of thing, right?
Yeah. The Dawn doesn't watch a whole lot of sports with me at home. She really enjoys live sports. And she understands how important sports are to me at home. So she lets me watch the games and have that time to be able to enjoy that. And so I definitely don't have to deal with that at home very often, but in live events, I do actually have to go through that. And I totally agree with you though, because you're right. In that moment, you're just trying to sit there and stay focused on what's going on, and you're getting peppered with questions and just like, wait a second here.
And she and I are going back and forth. So we missed the ref actually affirming that I was right. And so she's like, wait, rewind it. I want to hear what they said. I'm like, don't rewind it. It's live. I don't want Gary to text me and ruin everything. So since I fast-forwarded, what a game that was. It was back and forth, Knicks and Pacers. So the three-pointer breaks the 115 tie with 40 seconds left. That was the other controversial moment where the Knicks got the possession back after Aaron Nesmith was called for a kicked ball when he deflected a Brunson pass in what looked like a steal and a fast-break opportunity for the Pacers. But the ball hit his hand, which was obvious on the replay. But the Pacers, they had a challenge, but those plays aren't reviewable, which that's above my pay grade in terms of explaining that. After the game, the refs admitted they missed the call. Steve, we're back to this again. We didn't have to wait for the two-minute report. The refs blow a big call. This infuriates Pacers fans or whatever in the end. And 112-117, Knicks win. Doesn't it feel like this is getting tired and old, all of these missed calls and everybody getting upset over them? I don't know what the solution is, but come on.
I've been there for quite a while. As you know, I used to be against the use of technology. And over the last 5, 6, 7 years, I have moved to where we need to embrace the technology. If we invented these games today, we would use the technology. So why? Because it was invented 150 years ago, do we not? Use the technology we can, make it a better game. Take these questionable calls out if possible, because in the end, as a fan, we just want the calls to be correct. That's all we're ever asking. And so I still think we need to be able to use technology to its fullest extent to help us with these situations.
So I'm gonna let you speak for yourself, Steve, before I turn to Gary. What I my reaction to that always is, that's great, Steve, but. Because there's always a but. And the but in this example is still human beings. We have the technology in the NFL, for example. I mean, in all these sports, but the NFL is the most prominent. Humans still get in the way. And we have these endless examples of where the humans that are announcing the game, or we're fans, we're texting back and forth, all three of us, and we're all saying, oh, clearly they're going to overturn that. They don't overturn it. How do you get around the fact that humans still screw up using the technology?
figure out how to use AI and use more technology to pull that human element out to ensure that you get the right call. And I know you can't do it on everything, but these are multi-billion-dollar businesses. There's got to be a way you can chip the football, the basketball, whatever, put something in the uniforms, whatever it is that doesn't hinder anybody playing, that feels natural and allow AI, whatever, to do their thing, and hopefully it'll be a better product.
That's right. I forgot. I love that argument of the chip and the ball thing.
Yeah, I think that solves a bit of the problem, though. I think part of the issue is that there have been phantom fouls in the NBA for years. It's been an issue forever. And even last night, the offensive blocking call that they gave to Turner late in the game that turned the ball over, questionable call there as well. How do you use technology to do that, right? And especially with the touch fouls, if you're going up to block a guy's shot and your fingertip touches his elbow, or it doesn't touch his elbow. There were a couple of calls earlier in the series or the last few games where it looks so close. How do you even call it you couldn't even see it on a TV screen very clearly. And so that's where we really need to figure out, how do we bring technology into that side? As far as the chip in the ball and stuff, yeah, that's going to help us see, did it really cross the goal line at the right time? Did it go out of bounds? But it's those player-initiated penalties that we need to figure out. How do we get the technology involved in that?
And as we talk all the time on the show, if you've got money on the line, it's even more. I mean, it was annoying. I don't even have a horse in this race. It was annoying to see the call missed just at the end of the game. And just because we want to see, as Steve said, as fans, we just want to see the right calls made. Of course, everything was stripped away from us after that great game with that turd that was then played between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. So the Nuggets, Steve, I guess they're taking the I texted this to Gary last night. They're taking the Dallas Stars playbook. We're going to lose at home the first two games, but we're going to find a way to come back and win. And Gary and I were talking about the game off the air, because I went to bed early on. I said, this is clearly not going to be a game. And I said, and I think Gary's right, yeah, the Nuggets just looked like crap. He said, well, I think the Timberwolves just looked amazing. Sorry, I'm putting words in your mouth, Gary.
That's all right.
But are you now, Gary, you said whoever goes from the West is going to win the NBA. Did you pin your hopes on the Nuggets?
I'm still rooting for the Nuggets.
Okay, yeah. You ready to retract though that as a prediction?
Not quite yet.
All right, Steve, have you seen something that makes you go, yeah, Minnesota's going?
You know, yesterday I said I was starting to sway towards the Wolves in this. Watching yesterday's game, I think the Nuggets are done. I mean, that swarming defense of the Timberwolves are playing great. Jamal Murray right now, you know, he is not 100% healthy. Reggie Jackson went off with a left calf injury in the fourth quarter. He's not going to be 100%. But this Wolves defense is playing fantastic. They didn't even have Gobert. They still won this game easily. Anthony Edwards is showing why he's one of the elite players in the game. And I think the Wolves advance here. And I found myself, even at the start of the game, I was already rooting for the Wolves. So by game time yesterday, I'd swung that way. And, I like the Wolves in this spot and that defense.
Steve mentioned Jamal Murray. Did I see he threw his heating pad on the floor?
Apparently, it's also now been revealed that he also threw a towel before he threw the heating pad.
But neither was called.
No.
For a technical.
No.
But, okay. All right, let's stay in the West, Steve. We got the start of the series. The Mavericks are at OKC. That's the late game tonight on TNT. How's it look?
Yeah, right now the OKC is a 3-point favorite in this game. It's and I love playoff basketball, playoff hockey, because you get great matchups like this. I mean, it's Doncic. Is he back to being healthy again? Early reports I was reading today, they think he's back to 100%. We'll see. Kyrie Irving had to step up when needed. This OKC team, though, is a lot of fun to watch play. Dort is going to get the job of trying to guard Luka. Hopefully he can make it done. But Holmgren inside and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he is right now probably my favorite player to watch play in the NBA. And I expect a great series here. I think it's going to go 7. I still like the Mavericks to win it based on their experience. I think they'll find a way to get it done. But this is going to be a great series.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Steve on SGA. Between SGA and Anthony Edwards right now, those two guys are just incredible to watch. And I actually can't leave out Jalen Brunson either. He's just been so much fun to watch. But OKC is 3-1 against Dallas in the was 3-1 against them in the regular season. They averaged 124 points a game. Dallas averaged 118 points per game. Of course, that included Oklahoma City beating Dallas by 49 points in the final game of the, that they played of each against each other. But Dallas didn't have Doncic, they didn't have Irving, they didn't have Washington, and they didn't have Kleber in that game. So if you take that game out, Dallas actually outscored Oklahoma City in the other three games, 128-121. So the one thing I'm getting out of this is that this is going to be a very high-scoring series and should be a lot of fun to watch. And I still like Oklahoma City to beat Dallas in this series, though.
If we jump to the early game, Gary, did you ever pin yourself on a team that will get to the finals from the East?
Outside of Boston right now, no.
Still, and you're still with Boston? Yeah. All right, Steve, that is the early game. 4 o'clock on TNT, our time. The series starts between Cleveland. They are at the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, right now the Celtics are a 12-point favorite here. The Cavs without Jared Allen have no chance. Hopefully he'll find his way back to the team. I think he's still listed as questionable in this game. The Celtics are just a far better team, and that's why we see this 12-point spread. The series price is minus $20. I don't think anybody's given the Cavs, you know, any chance at all. I'm hoping they can put up a fight, but I just don't see it happen. And the Celtics will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals.
You mentioned that minus 20 number yesterday. Did I hear right? That means you have to bet $20 to win $1?
That is correct.
Wow.
Is it that lopsided?
Holy criminy. I don't know why that number's that high, because regular season, the teams basically split the series. It was Boston won three out of the five games, and the home team won every single game. And the in those series, Boston averaged 114 points a game, Cleveland averaged 111. I mean, this should be a lot closer of a series than it's showing in the money line there right now. I agree with Steve. Jared Allen's supposed to be out tonight, but so's Kristaps Porzingis for Boston. So the top two centers for both teams are supposed to be out for tonight, and it's going to be an interesting game to watch, but it should be a really fun series again.
All right, let me squeeze in a quick break. We're back after this.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go! Gary's joining Steve and me. One quick NBA note that we didn't get to in the last segment. Not surprising to anyone, San Antonio Spurs forward/center Victor Wembanyama. 99 first-place votes, making him the first unanimous NBA Rookie of the Year since Carl Anthony Towns. Greg Popovich, who's got a vested interest in saying nice things, obviously, about Wembanyama, says he's just like Tim Duncan. Steve, you like him, not Popovich. I mean, I don't know, you like Popovich, whatever. But didn't you say, I don't want to misquote you, didn't you put, like, Wembanyama in the you already see him as a top 10 player in the league category?
I put him in probably the top 15. He's phenomenal to watch play. The award I'm waiting to hear is the defensive player of the year. And I think Rudy Gobert will end up winning it. But I will tell you right now, he would get my vote for the defensive player of the year. There's no player in the NBA who alters opponents, you know, shot selection and how they attack the rim. Like Wembanyama, you know, he averaged 3.5 blocks a game. I think he averaged over 4 blocks a game the second half of the season, 21 points. I mean, I think he's at like 4 assists. He is still young. He's developing his game. And as long as he stays healthy and continues to develop, he will be a top 3 player in the NBA here, you know, within the next couple of years.
You see that, Gary? Top 3?
I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move to Major League Baseball. First of all, thank you, Gary, for sporting the gear here. You got your San Francisco Giants hoodie on.
Yes, sir.
I want to first confirm, as a lifelong Giants fan, do you follow the sports fan rule, that the unwritten rule you have to hate the Dodgers as a Giants fan?
Yeah, hate's a bit of a strong word, but I 100% root against them, but I definitely wouldn't get in a fight against the Dodgers fan just because I like the Giants.
Sure.
I hate the Dodgers. So. Sure.
Now, look, the Dodgers, they're not even the best team in baseball, if you just go by winning percentage. That would be the Phillies, who we'll get to in a minute. They're not even second best. That would be the Orioles. But the Dodgers are doing what the Dodgers should do this year. What are we, 5.5 game lead still. They're way over 500, 11 games over 500. Walker Buehler, after 20 months on a rehab from a second Tommy John surgery, he was wondering, when I get back, I mean, he's thrown a few games in the minors, but when I get back, am I going to be throwing where I'm used to be? If he was worried, he worried out loud, do I have to adjust to pitching at 92? miles an hour. Threw his first pitch last night, 7:10 p.m. He looked up right. It was actually a funny moment if you go back, if you weren't watching live. He right away turned his head and looks up at the scoreboard to see it clocked in at 96 miles an hour. The end of the night, he averaged 96. He got up to 98 a few times. Ultimately, the Dodgers won 6-3. It was a shaky outing in the beginning, although Buehler finished strong, retired 6 of the last 8, struck out 4. To me, okay, big deal. The Marlins suck. They shouldn't have gotten anything off Buehler, but he's still getting, he's still getting comfortable and all that. So, Steve, this to me, we kind of alluded to this last week when we got the date on Buehler starting. This is just the rich getting richer and plays to your sense of if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, this is a wasted offseason and a whole bunch of wasted money, but they're getting another weapon if this continues to move forward with Buehler.
Yes, and there's a reason I believe the Dodgers picked to start him against the Marlins. I mean, they're a light hitting team. You want him to have some success, feel good about his first outing, and not start, maybe I just don't have it quite yet, and what am I going to do? You don't want any of that doubt in there. The thing that I took out of the positive of this is, yes, he gave up the hits early. He gave up 3 runs in the first, inning and a half type of thing, but he didn't walk a batter, which means he's throwing strikes. His control isn't, pinpoint at this point, but he's able to, hit the strike zone. And I think it's just going to continue building from there. He probably will hit in a couple of starts. Most pitchers, when they come back in that third, fourth start, have that arm fatigue type of thing as they're building up that arm strength. But you add Buehler, if he can be close to any, what he was before. Tyler Glasnow, who they picked up in the offseason. This Dodger team's going to be tough to beat.
As a Giants fan, Gary, and people are tired of me saying it, but I don't care. It's early for baseball. But as a Giants fan, are you already in the position of, okay, the Dodgers are going to win the division, and we, the Giants, if we're lucky, we can take a run at the wild card? Or where are you at as a Giants fan just in general?
Yeah, I guess, as a baseball fan, I would lean that way. I honestly, even as a Giants fan, I don't know that the Giants are going to make a run at the wild card at this point.
Is that part of that, the wounds from getting swept by the best team in baseball?
It's just the overall way that they've been playing. And, they've literally got one good hitter on their team right now, and it's just it's hard to watch.
Steve, you seem to be a little bit, I wouldn't say wavering, but you seemed to yesterday when we talked about the Giants real quickly, you were kind of like, yeah, we were saying they're doing what they should do, but they seem to be kind of teetering towards the wrong direction.
Yeah, there's just no consistency there. They can't put up, 2, 3, 4 wins together. They find ways to lose. Getting swept by the Phillies, that's 4 losses right there. They got to get, come out healthy in this next round. But the thing that worries me about the Giants, and it doesn't even have to do with the Giants, is the Padres went out over this last weekend and picked up Luis Arraez. He's a contact hitter, hits 300. He's a 2-time batting champion. He really helps this Padres lineup, lengthens it. So it's a really good lineup if you look at it. If Manny Machado can get back to anything close to what Machado has been in the past, the Padres have good pitching. So where I had the Giants as that team out of there to finish second and make that wild card run, to me the Padres have improved. And the Padres now to me are a better team with this pickup than the Giants. And it was a quiet move. Nobody really heard it. But I like what the Padres did here, and the Giants just continue to be inconsistent.
Is there a move, Gary, that you're looking for the Giants to make?
I actually heard a rumor this morning that the Giants are looking at Goldschmidt and trying to pursue and get him into town.
That's the name everybody's looking at, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I like him as a player. I don't know how much he's going to make this lineup better. Obviously, he's going to improve it. But we got too many guys hitting below 250 right now in the lineup. We need more than just Goldschmidt right now.
Aren't you super excited, though, for Blake Snell to recover and come back?
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
So the reason I asked you about where you were as a Giants fan was Steve and I have been joking as an A's fan. That's where my loyalty lies. I already know where the A's season is heading, right? They're doing surprisingly well for the expectations. As Steve pointed out, over the weekend they did get to 500. Then they lost, so they were a game under. Now they're 2 games under. And that was Steve's thing, was I just want to get them to at least 500 and then get them over 500. I was looking at it going, over the weekend, could we get some cannibalization with the Mariners playing? And could they even maybe get close to first, half game out, et cetera? But it wouldn't matter. The A's could be 5 games ahead in the West. As an A's fan, they'll blow everything. They'll give everything away at the trade deadline. So there's no hope for the A's. So that's what I was asking about, you hope for the Giants or whatever. So last night, The A's had to host the world champs. The Rangers were in Oakland. A's were up 2-0 through seven and then blow the lead. 3-run 8th. One run 9th, doesn't matter. Rangers win 4-2. And by the way, blank you, A's, if we're just going to take it from a baseball standpoint, Alex Wood goes out and he throws 6 2-hit shutout innings, and he only threw 78 pitches, and they yank him. Yeah. Why are we yanking him at 78 pitches?
I couldn't tell you why.
What, Steve? See, what other analytics? 78, that's not even a big number.
There you go. You were going to ask me, but you said it before I could answer. Analytics, so I mean, he's got to come out because now he's going his third time through the lineup, and his, you know, his whip and his success in that third time through the lineup isn't as good. So we got to put a fresh arm in there. This is the part of baseball I hate, is this part. You got to pass the eye test. You can tell when a pitcher's lumbering out there and is not very effective. You can see when he's on cruise control. The best thing the Rangers got was taking Wood out of the game. Seager had to be happy. 3-run homer. Thank you. We won the game.
Yeah, I mean, Buehler, they pulled after 77 pitches yesterday, after 4 innings. That I understand.
Yeah. Yes.
He's in first game back. He's in his recovery mode. But for them to pull Wood out after 78 pitches.
The same basic number of pitches a guy who hasn't pitched in 20 months.
Right. And he pitched 2 more innings. And it's just like ridiculous. Why? Why are you pulling him out at 78 pitches?
That third time through the lineup thing drives me nuts.
It drives me insane as well.
The big news, though, the really big news out of Oakland was, because we've been watching this, they had only 3,300 on a – I'm forgetting now. That was a Cardinals game, right? They had 3,300, I think, on a Friday night, wasn't it? Okay, and then it was – and so it started the process of watching attendance. They got below 3,300, like 3,296. Steve, you ultimately – I said by the All-Star break, I think they'd have fewer than 2,000, and you said by the end of the season, Steve, they'll have fewer than 1,000 at some point at Oakland, and we have circled that series, that weekday series with the White Sox coming to Oakland. I think it's like August 4th-ish, Monday through Wednesday. But they set a new low. Last night was not dollar night at the Oakland sewage house known as the Coliseum. And so even for the World Series champs, the A's only got 2,895 in paid attendance. As you shake your head, Steve, they're below the 3,000 mark as they continue to set new lows.
And this is... the A's are playing the best baseball they'll play all year right now. Yes, they've lost 2 in a row. Last night was the first of 11 straight games against AL West opponents. If they're ever going to make your run to get to first place, this was their opportunity. They're playing the defending world champions, and they still can't get to 2,900 in attendance. That just makes me feel a little bit more confident in that being less than 1,000 in August.
I comically enjoyed Steve's prediction of less than 1,000. I honestly was like, that's a little much, but it's not now.
No, and this is honestly, hearing that number, that's a game I would have allowed a player to miss to go have his see his child be born.
Right. Gary's going to be back with us, what, Thursday, Friday this week?
Yep.
All right, Steve, I'll see you in 23 hours, man.
Thank you.
Better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
Oh, my goodness. Sarity hit that one from the parking lot. And Vermont has a 59-55 lead.
Touchdown, Heights. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
The Mixed Picks Sports Show.